Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
We, like those first disciples, we find ourselves on this service, this day, gathered around the cross, don't we? And there are some things that we can learn, some things that I think are important for us to look at as we gather around the cross. If you turn with me in your Bibles, there should be one in under a seat in front of you. Turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. We're going to begin our story of the crucifixion of Christ in verse 21. Jesus is being led out of the city to be crucified. It says, "Then they compelled a certain man, Simon a Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it." Some people are compelled to the cross of Christ. They compelled Simon to carry his cross. The word compelled describes a privilege of the Roman soldiers. They had this privilege to press into service anyone at any time. They could press his person, his horses, his equipment, his family members, and usually without notice. They compelled Simon to carry the cross. Sounds like they're still hammering nails on the cross even now. What is it that compels us to the cross? What compels you to the cross? Usually it's a crisis. A crisis compels us. We find ourselves helpless in addictions. We find ourselves full of emptiness and shame. Some are filled with fear, failure. Others are overwhelmed with loneliness. Or for some, it could be a financial disaster that compels them to the cross. Or it could be a breakup of yet another relationship or a termination of a job. Some are compelled to the cross. They're compelled seeking truth, seeking meaning for life, seeking forgiveness of their sins, seeking the greatness of God and need of the love of God. Whatever your story, whatever walk of life you've traveled down through the path of your existence here on earth, every one of us, every person, every culture, every nation, every people, every tribe, every one of us, we have that one thing in common as a Christian. We have been compelled, as Simon, to the cross. That's where we find forgiveness. That's where we find life. That's where we find purpose. That's where we find someone that truly loves us, knows everything about us, and still truly loves us. There's something amazingly compelling about the cross. And every one of us have experienced that pulling upon our hearts that have driven us there to the cross of Christ. No, it might not have been a Roman soldier that compelled us to the cross, but we have been compelled nonetheless. The second thing we find around the cross is we find carelessness around the cross of Christ. It surrounds the cross. Mark chapter 15, verses 24 and 26, it says, "And when they crucified him, they divided his garments and casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, 'The King of the Jews.'" Now, if I were to ask you to think about it and tell me, what earthly possession did Jesus have? He borrowed a boat to speak in, to fish in, to travel across the sea in. He borrowed a little boy's lunch to multiply. He borrowed a jug of water when he was thirsty, or to turn water into wine. He had to borrow a coin to pay taxes or to illustrate a truth. What one possession, what one earthly possession did he have? And that one possession was taken from him on the cross. So what do I mean by carelessness around the cross? It's treating Jesus lightly. It's taking his sacrifice for granted. It's knowing about Jesus, but just acting indifferent to him, to his suffering, to his sacrifice, to his great love that he gave and poured out for us. It's living a life in continual sin. Carelessness around the cross, it's self-indulgence. It's just business as usual, like it was for the Roman soldiers. It's God loved us so much, and yet we just live as if it doesn't even matter. Yeah, there was carelessness around the cross. But we also see cruelty at the cross. In verse 27, it says, "With him, they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.' Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save.' Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him." And it's so easy to be angry at these cruel people, mocking, taunting, blaspheming. He's weak. Christ has made himself helpless. He's suffering in agony. He's about to die. And here come the mockers, like crows gathered around him. And yet, if we were honest, we find ourselves once again at the cross, mingled in that mocking crowd. You see, I have doubted. I have denied him. I have joined the mockers, too ashamed to stand up and say what I knew I should say at the time that I should have said it. I have joined those that were gathered around the cross of Christ. I've been cruel to him, even in his love and in his suffering. And I should have been up there because I have blasphemed him. I've made fun of Jesus, and I've made fun of Christians. Oh, yes. the cruelty that Jesus faced upon the cross, it wasn't just there, it is extended down through the centuries, even to our own day and to our own lives. And now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood by, when they heard that, said, "Look, he is calling for Elijah." And then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and take him down." So forth, we find that there was confusion that surrounded the cross. Confusion surrounds the cross. And the world doesn't understand because the cross is foolishness to the world. They're ignorant of what was done there. The cross was the wisdom of God, the plan of God for salvation, yet to the world, it was foolish. It makes no sense at all. And there's all sorts of questions in this confusion around the cross that confront us. Why did Jesus die such a horrible, horrible death? What really happened during those hours, those 3 hours of darkness at the cross? Who was Jesus really? And how can trusting him and what he did on the cross, how can that save me from my sins? And those are deep and very wonderful questions. And as we ponder those questions, we're going to listen to a song that the worship team's going to present for us. Oh, the Blood.
The blood of Jesus washes me.
Lastly, our text brings us to verse 37 through 39. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last, and then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And so when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this, and he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Lastly, at the cross, we hear his cries from the cross. The Gospel of Luke tells us exactly what he did cry out there as he breathed his last breath. It says, "And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having breathed his last." Back in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, it tells us a story of Cain and Abel. And there's an interesting thing that happens in the story. After Cain slays his brother Abel, God comes and he speaks to Cain and he said, "Cain, the blood of your brother Abel cries out to me." That's a profound thing. It seems that blood, the shedding of innocent blood, actually has a voice that cries out that God can hear. He actually can hear it. God is able to hear the cries of the voice of that blood. And the blood of the innocent Christ is still crying out. It's crying out to you and to me today. And what does it say? Can you hear it crying out to you? His blood, it says to you and to me, it says, "Come, come. There is hope for you. I forgive you." It says, "I love you no matter what you've done." It says, "There is room for you. There is peace for you. I have joy for you. I have love for you that you have never even dreamed of. I have a new life that is ready for you." His blood cries out to you and to me. But you might say, "Well, you know what, Pastor? It's too late for me. I have been too bad. I've done too much." His blood could not cry out to me. I've blown it just too many times. I went to a concert recently, and there was a song that was played at the concert, and the title of the song has just stuck with me. It says, "There is endless second chances at the cross." Endless second chances at the cross. And that's the wonderful thing about our God, that he would love us so much, that he never gives up on us. He never throws us away. He always is there to restore, to rebuild, to love. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ still cries out, doesn't it? And the one who kneels before the Lord in repentance of their sins, the one who kneels before the Lord that says, "Oh Lord, I need you. I can't live without you. I certainly do not deserve heaven apart from you." To that one, he says, "I love you. I love you. I receive you. I forgive you. I want you to spend eternity with me. I want to make you my friend." If I could have the ushers come up, we're going to celebrate communion. And as we do, let's ponder such great love, such great sacrifice for us. Now, if you're here and perhaps you're kind of new to our services, we invite anyone and everyone to receive communion that is a member of the body of Christ. And so if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you have a personal relationship with Him, please feel free to receive the elements with us. If you have not done that yet, if you've not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you couldn't pick a better day than today to do that. To just call out to Him and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I come to You and I ask You to come into my life and change me, make me new. Today would be a great day. But if you're just kind of in that time of checking things out, then just let the elements pass by. Because as we partake of these elements, we are symbolically demonstrating that we have received Christ Jesus into our very lives. Make that real. If it's real, then rejoice and receive it with us. Would you please?
Messiah has come, says in His word, to cleanse everyone. Atonement He made, iniquity He bore, that we can find life. Sacrifice lamb has been slain, His blood on the altar a stain, wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. Salvation has come to the world, God's only Son. Prophets of old speak much of Messiah. His death is foretold, His purpose is clear. Isaiah did say it was for an atonement, give us a way that leads not to death. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, His blood on the altar a stain, to wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. Salvation has come to the world, God's only Son to the world, Jesus the one for the world, Yeshua is He.
On the night that He was betrayed, He took bread. And He broke it and gave thanks. He gave it to them saying, this is My body which is broken for you. And He knew that soon, just hours, to be hurled at His body was cursing, cruelty, carelessness. Oh Lord, Lord, you allowed your body to be broken for us. And we have found ourselves guilty of these same things. But Lord, now, because you have opened our eyes, because you have helped us to see, Lord, we count your body as very precious. You offered it all for us. And so, Lord, we come gratefully, thankfully, lovingly. Lord, we break this body, remembering that you freely gave your life for us. In Jesus' name. Took the cup and he said, "This cup is the cup in the New Testament of my blood that has been shed for the remission of the sins of many. Take and drink, and as often as you drink it, remember me." His blood still speaks. His blood cries out to you and to me. His blood says, "You are my son. You are my daughter." His blood says, "I love you. And I paid it all so that you could live eternally with me." Oh Lord, thank you that your blood now has a voice that speaks to us. Not words of judgment or condemnation, but words of unending love. Grace, forgiveness, assurance, and peace. You made peace with God through your cross. Thank you, Lord, for your precious blood spilled out for us. In Jesus' name.
So, brothers of mine, look not to yourselves, for we are but one. We all need his help. We've broken the law, but he paid our debt, that we can find life in Yeshua's death. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, blood on the altar. Yeshua, you know.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.